today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Jason and Derek here.
We have a very happy Monday, Derek.
Yeah, happy Monday to
very
you.
Very special episode of the TMZ Podcast. We are going to do a year-end roundup, starting today with the biggest scandals of 2022. We've got a great list, top five.
Yeah.
You and I are going to run down them. I think that we have a lot of alignment here. I think we've come to a consensus top five.
There will be some bickering, Jason. Let's just be honest about how we rank these, but yes.
Let's get right into the fifth biggest scandal of the year, Adam Levine's alleged Instagram misdealings that were revealed on TikTok by the alleged FRS.
Yeah, this was absolutely gigantic and sort of introduced a lot of people to DMs and how they can get a little bit tricky, because Adam Levine is a huge celebrity. And on Instagram, he had several women who would reach out to him. And usually you imagine celebrities just receive a lot of these things, but don't necessarily respond. Well, Adam was quite active. He would engage with some of the women who he spoke with on Instagram. And then it sort of blew up in his face, right? Because one of them he reached out to, he said, "I'm so into you. Would you mind if I named my next kid after you?"
Yes. Yeah, so
what do you think of this?
Her name was Summer Stroh.
Yeah.
And
beautiful
she
name.
Beautiful name. Sumner, not Summer. Sumner Stroh.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually posted on TikTok the Instagram conversations, the DMs that she had been having with Adam. And the big, as you referenced, the big event within this text is his, because when it all came out, when she posted this, she had a year-long affair. He denied the existence of a physical affair.
Yes,
but admitted that he had gone too far, which is the understatement of a lifetime, because not only were there text messages of a very romantic nature, there were also messages, to your point, that said, "I'd like to name my child." Now, his wife at the time, Bahati Prinsloo, was pregnant with their third child.
That's right. And that's what seemed to upset people the most, was the sort of the emotional betrayal, because it's unclear. There's a little bit of vagueness as to how far he went and whether it was simply a texting relationship or had some physical component. But
in fairness to him, there were no texts where it said, like,
"Meet up here.
You were great last night,"
right,
or "It was great seeing you," or "Meet up here." And so he was either smart enough to avoid those DMs, or they never actually met up, despite she said there was an affair.
That's right. So it opened up this conversation with, you know, if you took Adam at his word, could there be sort of harmless flirtation with someone across the internet who you don't necessarily have a physical intimacy with, but you're saying these sorts of things? I tend to fall on the side of there was a bit of an emotional betrayal. If Bahati is not on board, she's pregnant with one of his children, and he's talking to another woman about naming that unborn child with Bahati after the woman in the internet.
It's hard to not be on board with this being
an affair. It's hard to not be
upset. I mean, look, you know, many people would argue that an emotional affair does more damage, it is more hurtful than a physical one.
But
everybody,
who matters here? Bahati, right?
Bahati.
And what was Bahati's response? They put a public-facing sort of response by being together, going on picnics.
He admitted that he made mistakes, went too far, but nevertheless, their marriage has remained strong. They both stayed out of the limelight for the last 6 or so months since this happened.
Yeah.
It seems that they've gotten past it, so why shouldn't we, I guess?
And this is why I put it in the five spot, and I think we agree that it belongs here, because ultimately, the people who are involved who could be outraged by this got through it. They worked through it. I don't know what went on behind the scenes. I don't know if he had to get her a sort of, you know, the way Kobe Bryant got a huge diamond for his wife at the time. Some things came out. But I think it belongs in the five slot because the scandal sort of died down with the people who were involved, and all that was left was the controversy and the debate in the ether about whether you can flirt with people online.
Which segues beautifully into the fourth biggest scandal of the year, the most recent of those on our list, which is the GMA affair between Amy Robach and TJ Holmes.
That's right.
Recently came out that the two of them had started a romantic relationship. They have been friends and intimate friends. I don't mean that to be a sexual term. I mean, they've been close friends.
They work closely
on
a show
together. For a long, long time. Yeah. And they started an affair. They say that it happened. They both were married when they met. They've both been married during the years of their work relationship. They say now that they started their affair after
they were separated from their spouses.
They, in fact, separated from their spouses in order to make true what they had thought for a long time, which is that they liked each other. But nevertheless, two things have stemmed from this. Number one, there's a lot of disbelief that they actually were not having an extramarital affair. And number two, GMA has been tossed asunder as a result of this relationship.
Yeah, so GMA and the way they've sort of handled this now, at a bird's eye view, this is just a consensual relationship between two people who are at roughly equal power levels. So there's no sort of like a boss dating an underling at the office, which would have
the two
sort of different dynamic. This is really just a consensual romantic relationship between co-anchors. So a lot of people are saying, well, why suspend them at all? I mean, if they are sort of separated from their spouses, they're not doing anything sort of immoral that would be off-putting to the audience, why are we suspending them? I think what's happening is ABC's president, Kim Godwin, initially said, nothing to see here. We're going to leave them on the air. That didn't go over very well at the office. There's a lot of whispers and so forth. So it was disruptive to their company. At least that was the perception. Now they've walked it back and said, okay, we're going to do a full investigation. And I suspect that the investigation will clear Amy and TJ. I don't know that, but potentially they were using some company resources while they were on location. Maybe there's something that's sort of a little bit problematic there. But my sense is they're now just going through the process of clearing them so they can bring them back as hosts. Is that what you see?
I think so. I mean, this is ABC, I think, reacted to the moment believing that there was it wasn't good for the office chatter biz or whatever. Mm. But number two, that, you know, it's owned by Disney. They have a very wholesome audience, sure. A very, you know, family friendly program in the morning. Lots of people watch. And I think they thought that it might be bad for the show. What they found out very quickly when they took them off the air is that the ratings tanked because people like them as personalities, yes. And B, they love scandal more than anything else. And yep. So these two people who were on the air, that, you know, they were after this whole thing broke, it was like a Thursday night where everything happened. And then on Friday morning, they came on and sort of with a wink and a nod and cute little giggles kind of
And the ratings reference. Were way
And
up.
The ratings were, they skyrocketed, the biggest ratings they've had.
Now, that's a little bit artificial. They skyrocketed because of the curiosity of seeing how the two people would interact with the controversy swirling. I don't think that's sustainable, but
it seems to be based upon that little flirtatious interaction, which they were clearly playing to their now huge audience. ABC reacted very negatively to that. Maybe it was in defiance of their orders not to talk about it.
Sure.
And so that they took them off the air right away.
Let me ask you a question. So maybe they come back. This is obviously a relationship that started from working together, and hopefully it lasts. I wish them nothing but happiness. But is it a stable thing to have two people who are intimately involved as co-anchors? I guess Minka
and Joe Scarborough.
That's worked, but they were married before the show started.
Yeah.
This is a relationship that is born out of the fires of controversy. She was married to Andrew Hsu, famously from Melrose Place. There are these clips going around where she would have TJ and Andrew Hsu on the show.
And
it's
also
a little bit weird.
Let's not forget that TJ has also been accused of having another extramarital affair with another GMA personality. If you're Amy Rohrbach, you're like, oh goodness, is it just
am I the flavor of the month?
Through it.
Nevertheless, we put it in the four slot. Let's move on to number three. And I don't know how on earth you're going to convince me that this is the number three.
I'm not going to try.
And not the number one scandal of the year.
No, number one is number one is number one, and nothing will defeat it.
All right,
but
we'll get to it.
I'm almost tempted to reverse two and three, but let's go with number three. We had the list printed. Let's do it.
Number three, we're just going to call it Kanye.
Kanye.
I mean, this is the Kanye West episode that has extended through months and months of his sort of unraveling right before our very eyes. You know, the anti-Semitic remarks have been the headline, but it's not been just that. You remember he came out in that white, it all sort of spawned when he came out to a fashion show in a White Lives Matter shirt. We were like, oh no, Kanye's on one. And the sense was that this was the spark of another long extended episode, but I don't think anyone saw where it was going. I thought it would be a little bit of light trolling with the White Lives Matter shirt and it would go away. It certainly did not. What happened, Jason?
Well, he dug in on the Jews, right? I mean, a lot of it stems from Kyrie Irving and posting the reference that Kyrie did to the Holocaust denying movie,
yes.
and then Kyrie wouldn't back down from that. Shortly, sort of in the same
around the same time, Kanye tweeted, "I'm gonna go DEFCON 5 on the Jews."
Right now, he says DEFCON 3 on the Jewish.
Sorry,
people.
DEFCON 3. I apologize.
Right. Yes. DEFCON 5 would actually less.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly.
He calls it DEFCON. It's DEFCON, but nevertheless,
maybe playing with words there though. I mean, unclear if he's sort of intending it to be a joke or he just doesn't know what DEFCON is.
So that's on October 9th. He says he's going to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. It says it was not anti-Semitic for him to say so because black people are actually Jewish also. So does that mean he's going DEFCON 3 on black people too? A little unclear.
Yes. Now, apparently this emanated from some what he perceives to be poor business dealings where he has felt cheated in the entertainment industry writ large and feels that Jews are to blame.
Entertainment industry, he obviously had a major falling out with Adidas. He had a major falling out with The Gap. And then he had, when all that started happening and he started getting a lot of criticism for the White Lives Matter shirt and his other, you know, stemming back to, frankly, to his MAGA hat wearing days, he started to coalesce his thoughts around the people that he believed were behind the entire effort to cancel him, and those are the Jewish elites in Hollywood.
Yes.
And so he just this was kind of the culmination of that. And then from there, you know, he's been doing a publicity tour, anti-Jew publicity tour.
And look, what happened after he made these comments was sort of a true cancellation of Kanye West. These are so beyond the pale type of comments that he did lose the deal with Adidas. Yes. His net worth went significantly south. He has sort of been ostracized from the mainstream. He says he's being debanked. He's not allowed to bank with Chase anymore and so forth. What happened, though, was rather than take a look at himself and how these comments are so noxious and harmful to society, he doubled down and said, this is the result of me truth-telling,
right.
And you're seeing in real time the cancellation of a person for actually speaking truth about the Jews. It's sort of perpetuated this logic in his head, and he's gone on with Alex Jones. He's gone on a sort of whoever will speak with him sort of tour, and I don't see it getting better because Kanye West is not a very introspective sort of guy who will sort of take stock of what he's done. He rather will say, this has confirmed what I've been saying the whole time.
We see this quite a bit, right? Donald Trump had some of this in him as well. His whole thing, if I lose, it's because
it
the election
be cheating.
Was rigged. Mm-hmm. And then he loses and he says, maybe I was wrong and the people actually didn't vote. Therefore, it's confirmation of my belief that I can't get a fair shake. But Kanye went further than Donald Trump, further than anybody, frankly, that I've heard with a public microphone in a long time, saying that he actually likes Nazis. There are good things about Hitler. So bad that even Alex Jones, who is a racist, xenophobic, anti-Semite,
facing 9 figures worth of judgments against him over Sandy Hook
lies. Because what he claimed was that Sandy Hook was a hoax perpetuated by the parents.
He blanched.
He actually said, well, I wouldn't go that far.
Unbelievable. That episode where Alex Jones is clutching his pearls over something someone else is saying.
Yeah.
Really just hard to fathom.
We talked about it this morning, as a matter of fact, that the cancel culture, that hundreds of people, celebrities have been targeted with cancellation, Me Too movement and other things as well. Very few times has it stuck, right? Cosby, it stuck. He actually no longer has a career. R. Kelly is actually doing time in his career, even before he was doing time, the rest of his life probably, even before he was doing that kind of time, had been canceled to a large degree. Very few others truly don't have a career.
Right.
Kanye West, people will still buy his music, but I don't know who's going to attend his concerts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm Pollyannish about the whole thing. Maybe he'll come back.
Well, look, I mean, we were in the office when he actually did survive the scandal that he experienced in our office when he said some pretty horrific things. And there was an episode where he sort of had a showdown with one of our colleagues. He sort of surfaced from that and was popular again, certainly selling a lot of shoes after that episode. This, I don't know if it's a bridge too far. It does seem like Kanye has become kind of noise in the background now. This is as far as you can go in terms of trolling, if that's all he's doing. And I'm not sure you can sort of turn the ship around and be taken seriously as an artist again. I just don't see it.
Somebody who is taken very seriously as an artist, Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. So we put this in the two spot because Kanye, you know, his episodes, we've seen them before. This is obviously a more extreme version with the anti-Semitism. But what you saw happen to Dave Chappelle was entirely new. So Dave Chappelle, remember, was at the Hollywood Bowl. He's doing a set. He you know, plays at the largest venues possible.
In the wake of some of his more anti-trans statements, some perceived
his Netflix special, The Closer, where a lot of people dragged him for his stance on LGBTQ and particularly trans issues. He's on stage at the Hollywood Bowl. He doesn't back down from this. And a man just charges on the stage. And it is quite an episode. It's all captured. He attacks him, sort of wrestles Dave to the floor briefly. He's not hurt or anything. And then the guy goes backstage and catches a vicious beatdown from Dave's supporters.
So Dave had some of his supporters there, Jamie Foxx first among them, who you can see, it's very dark and grainy, but you can see is kicking and stomping him. Dave actually takes the microphone winded from the altercation.
Yes.
My man is being stomped back there.
Now, it seemed sort of like comical because the guy was just like sort of wrestling and getting beat up. But it turned out that he had a replica of what is kind of like a handgun bayonet. It was
gun was a replica. There was a fixed
blade was
bayonet
real.
On it that was real. And it seems that he had set out to kill Dave.
He has another case that he's dealing with where he apparently is accused of trying to kill his roommate. So he is maybe a dangerous individual. And he says he was triggered by the Dave jokes about the trans community. So this is a direct link between what Dave said on stage, and he's been a big champion of free speech. Comedians should be able to talk about these issues and deal with them. He felt some real physical consequences from doing so.
Yeah, it was really terrifying scene. Terrifying. I mean, awful things could have happened. Dave was fine. Dave went back and actually got his own licks in on the guy as he was being pummeled by others. It was a horrible scene, especially once you found out the guy had this, you know, lethal weapon.
We have slightly different views about whether Dave should be going on this tour of like tackling this particular issue. But no one deserves sort of physical violence as a result of what they say on stage. You cannot go to his shows, don't have to watch his Netflix specials. But this was outrageous, and that's why it's in the number two slot.
Speaking of physical violence on stage, our number one with a bullet,
even though it's an old story. Even though it's the
actually
the
first one, the first in chronological order on the list, also the first biggest scandal of the year, Will Smith, the slap heard around the world. Will Smith charging onto stage at the Academy Awards last year.
The Academy Awards are the biggest event next to the Super Bowl. They just are. Even if the ratings don't show that every year.
I mean, it's worlds apart from the Super Bowl, but I don't think there's a bigger event.
Massive.
Than the television event and water cooler event than the Academy Awards. Chris Rock is a presenter for an award. He gets up and there's lots of jokes told at celebrities' expense. That's what happens at these awards. Ricky Gervais, most famously, I think a different award show, Golden Globes. But nevertheless, that's what happens at these things.
Will sitting at a table with Jada while these jokes are coming out.
Right. And he tells the joke about how his wife, basically
compares her to G.I. Jane.
Bald head to G.I. Jane. Camera immediately goes to Will and Jada. Jada is stone-faced, clearly doesn't like the joke. Will laughs hysterically, and then you see him look over at his wife, his face drops, all of a sudden he stands up, marches towards Chris on stage, gets up on the stage, Chris goes, uh-oh, still thinking, I think, that Will's going to play out a little skit of being angry. And Will slaps the shit out of Chris Rock.
It's unbelievable. Unlike the Dave attacker who had to elude security and race on stage, he is able to your point, waltz on stage because it was so strange. And he's Will Smith.
Yes.
No one expected him to physically slap Chris Rock across the face, least of all kind of Chris Rock.
Right.
Chris Rock as the sort of distance is closing goes, uh-oh, in his sort of Chris Rock kind of like, I think he was a little scared though,
but he didn't quite know what was happening.
And he hauls off a slap and then goes back to his seat and proceeds to shout at Chris, keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yes.
And that's what he's saying, and they were able to bleep it in certain respects, but you really got a lot of this raw during a live telecast of the Oscars. Never anything like it. You know, Marlon Brando once brought out a Native American to accept his award, and that was a big deal. Once there was a streaker in the 70s.
Yes.
This is the biggest Oscar moment, unplanned moment, in the history of the Oscars.
Does the word unplanned have to be there? Or is it the biggest Oscar
maybe
moment?
Maybe just the biggest Oscar moment. I was trying to think, like, the Moonlight moment was very big as well.
But, none of that did we talk about 9 months later. I think this is the biggest Oscar moment.
The fallout, he's been suspended from the Academy for 10 years. Can't go to the telecast.
But can be nominated, but can't go. Yeah, I mean, right. That's the ultimate sanction for him, is that he was suspended for 10 years. And he may very well be nominated this year for his movie Emancipation.
Yeah.
He's a producer, director, actor in it. Will has attempted to make amends. He's attempted to apologize profusely to... He has apologized profusely, not attempted to. He has apologized profusely to Chris Rock. Chris Rock's having none of it. He has never accepted his apology. He's made jokes about it in passing on stage. He hasn't done a full skit about it, full sort of segment on it. What's it called? A comedy...
They did a bit on it.
He did a bit on it. But he hasn't accepted his apology. Will really wants him to.
I think Will needs him to.
He needs him to.
Will has not been folded back into the mainstream and won't be until Chris does something.
Until they can hug it out.
Yes. I think he's done... perfectly adequate apologies. He's done one to camera. He's done interviews about it now. So Will is sort of contextualizing it and apologizing. He falls on his sword and he says, I absolutely shouldn't have slapped Chris Rock. But without Chris sort of saying, it's okay, let's move on, I don't think the world is ready to just like except Will Smith again. Emancipation hasn't done particularly well.
No, it's actually not that great of a movie from what I've heard. I haven't seen it. But here's what ultimately gets me about this whole thing. I don't think Will Smith has ever been honest. He says he was triggered. He says it's based upon some childhood trauma that he had, that it triggered him, and he went up there.
What are you waiting to hear?
I'm not waiting to hear anything. I'd like a little honesty.
Yeah.
Here's the honesty. He laughed hysterically. He then looked over at his wife, who was not laughing. And in that moment, he did something to impress his wife. That's what happened.
That's
in
what
that
you think
moment.
Happened. And you want to hear him take ownership of that.
Look, I would never expect that of him. It would be too sort of weird at this point, given all he said, to do that. I think that moment has passed.
Yes.
But that's what happened.
No,
And for him to say he was triggered for childhood trauma, bullshit.
Yeah.
This was a man's effort, and they have a fraught relationship, he and Jada. It's a strange relationship going back years. I say strange because I don't understand it. Doesn't mean it doesn't work for them. Good for them.
And some built-up tension over the years with Chris.
Has insulted her before. Yeah. The famous joke back 2017 or 18 when he hosted, and he said Jada Smith has elected not to, has boycotted the Oscars. Right. That's like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. Right. I can't boycott something I wasn't invited to.
Right.
You know,
he's gotten his shots off.
He's gotten his shots. Yeah. And she clearly doesn't like it. I guarantee they've talked about it. He tells the joke at Jada's expense. Will laughs hysterically. Looks over and goes, I wasn't supposed to laugh. How can I prove to Jada that I really didn't find that funny, even though I found it hysterical?
And one thing that's true is when he walked up on stage, you're right, the read of his body language after the slap, because his back is to the audience, and he turns around sort of triumphantly and walks back like cock of the walk.
Right.
I think he thought the read of his action would have been very different than it actually was. People were horrified, jaws dropped. I think he thought there might have been even applause or sort of like some sort of swell of "you deserve that, Chris." He didn't get that, and now he's been on this long apology tour that I think until Chris welcomes him back into the fold, I don't think it'll feel complete.
So that's our list of the biggest scandals of 2022. We are going to do another one of these, top five, every day this week. What do we have coming up?
So coming up on Tuesday, we've got the top five sports stories of the year. On Wednesday, we'll do the top five tragedies. Obviously, a lot of big death news that we'll cover in that episode. Thursday, you're going to want to tune into top five divorces of the year. Breakups and deaths are always sort of big news in year-end wrap-ups.
We may be talking about Kanye in that one, too.
Yeah, Kanye may come up in multiple episodes, so just be aware of that. And the last episode on Friday, we'll just talk about the top five people, the names in the news that you couldn't escape in 2022. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you next time.
Later.